Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Man, we have had a week. It's been awesome what God's doing. And, you know, it's not surprising to me that as we push the kingdom forward, you're going to get resistance, right? So we've been school board, courthouses, advancing the kingdom. The tent's been up for 20 some odd days in Bolivia. We got invited there, and the evangelists there, Milton Martin and Jonathan Hayes from Living Waters Church. And just to hear Jennifer Costell come and preach that thing. She grew up there, and all of the brokenness that happened in her life, she went to school there 3 weeks from it, and her third grade teacher lived in the house that the tent is on. You can't, it's just like devil in your face, right? And so I just love it. It was powerful. And so advancing the kingdom, and then National Day of Prayer was this week and in the park, and that was awesome to see the number of people gather for that. And then we're going to be praying for many things in the city. But yesterday we're having this birthday party. There's like, I don't know, maybe 25 of us, something for Rebecca, right? We're in MP Park. And it's just, you have to laugh at the devil. Unfortunately, there was some homeless guys, or at least people that were struggling. Daniel brought these guys some food. One guy was laid out. Ron checked him, make sure he was okay. He was laying in the grass. And then this one guy showed up, totally demonized, totally drugged out. And he circled our family gathering there at least 30 times, projecting curses over us. Chris Challen approached him and went up to him, and Chris does that a lot for folks that he ministers to, and he wasn't having anything of it. They offered him food, and he just kept. So we just stood there in Jesus' name. We're inside the bubble of Jesus, whatever, but the devil, and one time I locked eyes with him, and you could tell the torment and the fear, because I said, in the name of Jesus. But you know, Jesus didn't cast a demon out of the man, even with 3,000 to 6,000 demons in Mark 5, until that man got to the feet of Jesus, right? You can do more harm if you try to cast a demon out of somebody that's not born again and not in a position of wanting. So, in fact, all of those cases in Mark 5, the supernatural move with the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus' daughter who died and raised from the dead and the man who's demonized, breaking chains and crying out and howling, all of them fall at the face of Jesus. See, humility, James 4, humble yourselves before God and draw close. He'll draw close. Then you can resist the devil. So I just prayed, you know, Lord, we want to see that person get set free. But we know we're not wrestling flesh and blood here. So it's humorous to me that the devil just, really, devil? You know, so don't be surprised when you're pushing the envelope that there isn't this heaviness of warfare. It's just part of the deal. So today's message is generally not a feel-good, you know, lovey message, so I'm glad we had all that worship. So today, this could annoy some people, and the truth will do that. The truth will either cut you or cut you free, depending on what you do with it. So there'll be some that I'm not trying to be annoying, but I am going to try to speak truth. And so I want to start, we're going to have communion at the end of the service, so don't leave, because I think this is going to stir up some stuff of generational things, or maybe things you've been involved with, rebellion. And I'm sure if you've walked with the Lord, you've already confessed a lot of that. But there are what I'll call residue or remnant stuff that sometimes hangs around. It's the place where the devil plays you. And we know from generational stuff, right? Exodus 20 and Exodus 34, it says the sins of the father can visit those whose iniquity and those who hate me. That word iniquity is one of the strongest words of sin. In fact, it lists sin, transgressions, and iniquity, and are all different Greek and Hebrew words. But the one that's the worst is iniquity. It is the twisted character. It's the one whose conscience has been seared and no longer loves God. In fact, hates God. And the effect, King James says it one way, New Living says another, the effect of that generational sin is visited upon the children of those who are iniquitous and hate me. So there's a four generation, but I love the rest of it. It says, but I love to 1,000 generations those who love me. So what sin does for four generations, love does to 1,000. And so, but it still requires those who have walked in that, Lord, we want to be free of the generational impact or effect or visitation right. It's another word that's used in the New Living. He has a right to visit. It's almost like the baited hook. It's like the devil can bait the hook because your forefathers or foremothers opened that iniquitous hatred door and he baits the hook. And that's why there's this propensity. It's like drawn into that area, right, of immorality or perversion or out of wedlock births or drugs or addiction, wherever the generational line has gone. But praise God, he sets us free, right? And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So this week I was kind of drawn. I've actually titled the message this morning. If you don't have a handout, we'll get you one. I've titled the message, Unmasking the Occult. I have actually been so disappointed with what I've been seeing in our city. And when I researched this, it just broke my heart. So I have some articles here that, it's sad. I'm going to pick on Reiki for a moment because it's an indication of what's going on in the city on all forms of the occult. So if you've ever been to a massage parlor or a massage, you may have been had hands laid on by a Reiki master. In fact, that is a demonized person who doesn't maybe even know better. And I looked up this morning, if you go on Reiki Wilmington, North Carolina, there are 17 Reiki centers in Wilmington. 17. I won't use their names. And some of them are, even the names are so deceptive, right? So if you go back to the history and the roots, right, it was formed by a Buddhist. In fact, Reiki means universal life energy. Reiki means literally universal life energy. And if you look at, it's like any of the cults, whether it's the Freemasons or witchcraft curses, there are, they try to dress this up in a way that is palatable, right? In a way that, but it always leads to the same kind of darkness. We know that in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So it's going to look good. In fact, Reiki does work. I've talked to people who have had hands laid on by Reiki masters, and some of the pain leaves, even though the medical community says no or no evidence, and there's a whole thing. You can go online and look at all the craziness. And then you got all these. This is really deceptive. What do Christians say about Reiki? If you go online and look it up, and they'll list even scripture associated with it. The way they twist the truth is so demonic. That's the hook. It's the hook, right? And it works. So when you know, when we're overseas or we're in Mozambique, Costa Rica, Argentina, Brazil, in Mozambique, you'll see the white flag in the village, which is where the warlock or the witch lives. And if you want to get healed or you got a sick child, go there, trade a chicken or give him something, and that witch will pray for your child. Guess what? They generally get well. But all, you know what you get with it? Yeah. And the wages of sin is death. And so that's the deception and the hook. It looks like power. There's two sources of power, Holy Spirit and the demonic realm. And so it's not surprising. People, but you know, the witch or the seance or the psychic, they told me something that was true. Yeah, they got a word of knowledge from the wrong power source. It's in the Bible, right? So the problem is it produces, so listen to this. I pulled two off. These are ex-25-year New Age healers who were Reiki masters who got so tormented and demonized they came out. And man, when you get the response back from the ones that are still in it, it is ugly stuff that they get pushed back on. But this was a new, it says, this is the title. I was a New Age healer, then I realized I wasn't the one doing the healing. Right? Why a Reiki master renounced her craft to follow Jesus. And it's her whole life story. It's really sad. Starts out where her mother's involved in witchcraft, but her grandmother's a spirit-filled believer. So she'd sit at grandma's house, and grandma would tell her Jesus stories, and she'd feel that warmth. Then she'd go home, and there was all kinds of witchcraft. There was sexual abuse in her childhood, so she was confused. Then it becomes a teenager. She starts rebelling. When I was home, we practiced witchcraft. But when I was with grandma, my loving Christian grandma, sit on the front porch shelling peas and tell me all the Jesus story, and I would feel that warmth. But then my disobedience streak came in, my generational sin that came through the clairvoyance of my mother started to operate. I started to see things in the spirit realm. But it got so scary when I started to search out New Age stuff, I would end up sleeping with my Bible, because at night, sometimes the demons would sit on me, and I realized that there would be even growls at night in my ear, right? So she's becoming more and more entrenched in the darkness, and that's not uncommon to people that have been involved in witchcraft. We get that. During the drinking and the rebellious phase of my life, the deception and the abuse, the seductive lie was I had a desire to help people, and I wanted promise of self-healing for myself. And that was where Reiki comes in. Looking back, I saw that Satan was preparing me to be seduced in the dangers of the New Age thinking, a false promise of peace through spiritual enlightenment. This is what happens when you go to, when you look at all the Freemasonry curses, talk to a 33 degree Mason that's come out and tell them, ask them to show you, or go read a book. There's a book by Barbara Quesada called Unto Death. When you, that is so foul and unclean, and it brings curses upon family members. And we've seen that again. So those who have been involved, just come out of it. Renounce it. There's lots we can help you with that on that. So she's in pursuit of that, but there's the big lie. In the mid-20s, she started studying Reiki, the universal life energy. And it was the myth and the mandate. They always say, some of the cults will tell you, Satanism and all that is, that's the medieval stuff. We're now enlightened. What did the devil say? You'll be like God, right? He said, so it's always that, yeah, those people are, those are the ignoramuses of the past, culturally stuff. We're now in a place where we've been enlightened. That's humanism. We got the big head. We know now, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth, right? Paul told us, right? So as she becomes a Reiki master, but there was always this unease. Even though I wasn't following Jesus in my heart, I would cry out whenever I heard someone give blessing to the nameless cosmos. Right? It's that, in fact, I had, I'm not trying to be negative here, but I'm going to just tell you the truth. You know my story. My dad was an alcoholic for 40 years, third tryout, got set free and got spirit-filled, and amazing testimony in the last years of his life. But he would attend AA at times, and I had somebody from NA call me this week. Said, would you consider being a place where we could run Narcotics Anonymous here? I said, well, let's talk for a minute. What power are you going to invoke when you come? Well, the high power. I said, there's only one high power, sir, right? And we've had AA here, and I honor them. I really do. Their hearts are good. But if you don't honor the high power, well, we want to give everybody grace. Look, we're pretty narrow-minded on this. There's only one Son of God, right? So I bless you. Can we agree to disagree? Lord, I bless what you're doing, but unless you're a Celebrate Recovery that's lifting the name of Jesus, and we've had Celebrate Recovery here before, right? And so I wasn't too, and we parted fine. I said, look, I'm glad that you called, but you know my heart. I can't bring defilement into this place. There's only one God. We're not going to be universalism. We're pretty narrow-minded. The Bible's really clear. I'm very narrow-minded. We have a biblical worldview. It's Jesus and Him alone. That's the only Savior, right? So, but that's the same thing that the cults do. The cults will tell you, well, don't you love everybody? Sure we do. Doesn't mean we're going to agree with everything, right? And so she becomes a Reiki master, and then she gets invited by her next-door neighbor, an older couple, and they invite her to a Beth Moore Breaking Free Bible study. And she gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then she, for a while, she tries to, like, do the mixture, teaching it, straddling two worlds. She talks about, they come to her and said, you know, you can make a lot of money. She goes, I'm not selling my soul, right? Yeah, saying what was, and it was totally forbidden. She could not, it was okay to talk about universal stuff, but as soon as you raise up the name of Jesus, you're not allowed to do that. And so she ends up at a point, she says, I got to get free of this. So despite my discomfort with Reiki, I remain powerfully attached to rewards of helping people. She had that in her heart. That was the gift that gets perverted, right? And so I quit teaching Reiki methods, and I told my students my faith in Jesus, but I continued to offer Reiki sessions to clients until the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, right? The foolishness of serving two masters. You can't serve two masters. Paul says, if you're a friend, James says, if you're a friend with the world, you're actually an enemy with God. That's a scary scripture, right? And so we know that it says in Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. You can't. right? And so she realizes he's the name above every name. And then she renounces all of her past, gets delivered from it. And then they invite her to do more teaching in Reiki, and she says no. And then all the posts on, you know, come on the social media about her, cursing her. It just goes with the territory. And she said, so what I did is I went and I ripped up all my Reiki books. I recommend you burn them, but that was 15 years ago, and I've not practiced Reiki since. The new age is old, and Satan is playing the deepest longing pieces of that. But we need to know that Jesus is the one who paid the sacrifice for us. There's another Reiki master. It says why Reiki is a demonic practice. And he comes out, you know, defines where Buddhism was at the root of that. And then he gets this feedback, which is ugly, from other Reiki masters, calling them all kinds of names. He was another 25-year master that came out, had to get delivered. The rise of this is so incredible. Even, it was a few years ago, we went and visited, you know, a lot of the places to pray at the strip malls, and we split the team of intercessors up. And we went to like 30 different places over several months. Actually, Mary Esther had the vision of that, right? Taking back the ground. And we broke that up over like 3 months and visited all these places, visited the schools. And the number of places where psychics and the immoral stuff that's going on, it's just like, wow. Well, here's an article from Time. It says, Time cover magazine with the demonic guy on the picture. The occult revival, Satan returns. And it says, through music, movies, concerts, occult symbols, they're everywhere. Here's another one. We need to pray for England. I'll tell you what, they are in a really, here's one. Satanism and devil worship is on the rise according to the latest census data in the United Kingdom. The statistical rise. Here's a Christian, Judeo-Christian organization, right? They do the research on it. And here's a nation that's supposed to be a Christian nation. The rise of paganism and animism, 167% increase up to 2021. And the Office of National Statistics and Research has found it's on the rise. Parents that are actually naming their children Lucifer. What in the, are you out of your cotton-picking head? What's wrong with you? And so, anyway, paganism, animism is on the rise. That's unbelief. And then this, what does the Bible say about witches and witchcraft? Anyway, praise the Lord. I pick on that subject, but for a reason, because it's everywhere. When you start looking at even some of the things like Super Bowl entertainment, the occult practices, what's coming out of Hollywood is not a surprise. And many of them who, actually, many of those who are in Hollywood or those who lead worship will tell you they sold their souls for a purpose. And so they'll even give testimony. So what does the Bible say about this? And what about, let's offer some hope here, right? So pull out your handout. Unmasking the occult. I've listed two scriptures. There are so many. I've listed more at the bottom there under number 4 about this practice. So if you have dabbled in this, we often hear people innocent horoscopes, Ouija boards, seances, maybe sororities or places where you've made statements, been involved in witchcraft, prayed to Satan, or just opened the door to rebellion. That brings in, that's 1 Samuel 15, which says, you know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So when you rebel against the word of truth, you actually invite in demonic spirits. We've been teaching that on Wednesday nights, right? We're in our 6th week of a 9-week study of equipping people to do deliverance. And so when we look at this practice of the last days and what the enemy is doing, look at your top paragraph there. This is out of 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. So 2,000 years ago, Paul tells his spiritual son, Timothy, look out for this. This will be a sign. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, some of your translation says expressly, or very clearly, right, that in the last time, some will turn away from faith, from true faith. So if someone turns away from true faith, that means they were once in the faith, right? You can't turn away from true faith if you weren't once in it, which is one of the scriptures that the once saved, always saved crowd loses ground on when they say, no, you can lose your salvation. which goes along with the seared conscience of those who turned from God. So this is that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but we realize, no, I don't want to dabble in stuff that makes you not pleased with me. It goes on, it says, they will turn away, some will turn away from true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. This is that Reiki stuff, the Masonic. Anything that tries to raise up something other than the name of Jesus that leads you in a deceptive teaching. Or the compromise. All the compromise that's happening in the churches, right? Compromising around gender, homosexuality. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And when the word said, you can try to water down the scriptures, you can say, well, no, you're supposed to love everybody. That's true. But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to have the truth that they're walking in. And we're going to read a scripture from Jude later about what is our role in this. These people, who are they? That are, see, the problem with deception, they don't know they're deceived. And that's why you'll get so much pushback from it. Unless you have the Holy Spirit of truth in here, that's why we pray, Holy Spirit, you got to tell us the truth. And none of us can be so pridefully arrogant that we think we have a corner on the truth. We don't. But he will take you up the mountain of truth, right? Who can stand in the holy place and who can enter the mountain of God, mountain of Zion? I preached this Sunday night, Friday night in a tent. The mountain of Zion out of Psalm 24 is the city of David. It's that place where you're invited to climb the hill of the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. That's a daily journey for us, right? And so these people are deceived. Their teachings come from demons. These people are hypocrites and they're liars and their consciences are dead. That's terrible. A dead conscience, no longer motivated by life, totally dead. Then he goes on in Deuteronomy, we've shared this on Wednesday night, do not let your people, so if you belong to Global River, I'm not letting you do this, okay? Now you can choose, you know, but I'm just saying, don't let your people do it. Okay, yes, Lord. Do not let your people practice fortune telling, use sorcery, interpret omens, engage in witchcraft, cast spells, function as mediums, psychics, call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and the Lord forbids you to do such things. Well, Pastor, what if I did them out of ignorance? We're doing prayer ministry. We'll have people say, well, I went to a psychic, and they told me things. And what did they tell you? I want to write it down because we want to break that curse, right? I had someone recently tell me we were doing prayer ministry and a lot of their family members had died. In fact, one had died in a car accident. She came here. We prayed over her to break that curse that she was going to die young. It wasn't too long after that she was in a car accident and she realized, came to herself, I know why I'm alive today. That curse was broken off of me. So again, these are things, again, choices. We don't have to believe the lie. We don't have to accept the curses, but you got to break them. There's a reason he said, cast out a demon. He didn't say, counsel it, or Jesus, you do it. No, no, he gave you the authority. You can, and I've done prayer ministries on people who visited. In fact, I had a woman who was, her mother was a shaman in another country. And she had gone even as a child, but then after she got saved, she went with her mother to the shaman's, the gathering of the shamans in this country. And she said, something happened when I was there. Now she's a born-again believer. She said, I picked up something, and then she was tormented. I won't elaborate on it. When we got to prayer ministry, we're there, and Pat got a visual, and I got a word, generational witchcraft. So we brought that picture and the word, and she goes, well, I wasn't going to bring this up because I've confessed this before, that I went to a shaman thing. Yeah, but did you break the spirit and renounce the lie? No. Well, we better do that. Well, as soon as we said, I said, repeat this after me. I renounced the spirit of jumped off her chair and tried to choke me around the throat. I pinned her on the floor of my office. That's why you have a woman present when you're doing another woman's ministry, because it looks pretty weird with the pastor sitting on a woman in his office, right? And there's windows, and you know, we have the windows for there's all, yeah. And the spirit spoke. I'm in a male voice. Looking at me, eyeballs roll back with this. I'm high level and you can't have her. I said, I know somebody higher level than you and his name is Jesus and you're coming out. Go, and then it's pitiful. You ever hear a man cry pitifully?
Well, where will I go?
Go to the dry place in accordance with Matthew 12.
Yeah.
Okay. And then human personality comes back, and here she is. The pastor's got her pinned on the floor. She looked up and said, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I knew it was in there. I said, and I tried to do my pastoral thing, you know. My partner was like, oh, my God. Pastor, if I could get to the door past that thing, I was gone. I said, I thought you had my back. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just reporting. It was just like Jesus is, it's not like they're on the same level. They're not. Big Jesus, little devil. In fact, doesn't it say later when he's dragged into the barbecue pit in Revelation, this is the one that tormented the nations? Like everybody's like, that thing? Right? Come on, we got to get this down. Not by pride or arrogance, but Lord, I know how big you are. Okay. Look at some definitions. The occult in Latin actually means concealed or covered with evil intent. That's what the occult is. It's evil cover-up. If the devil can't, he never wants to be found out in a person's life. He will take cover so he can do maximum damage at a certain point. That's why when you see some of the pastors that fall in spirits of lust or seduction, that devil's taken ground and waits till he can really, what did Jesus say? Scatter the flock. Because then people get mad at the church. That pastor's supposed to be this and that. And they are. We are. We're held to a higher standard. It's actually scary. Pray for me. Divination. The knowledge through supernatural means about people, events, and the future in an unholy source. Fortune tellers and witches. I don't know why we're surprised when somebody says, this fortune teller knew everything. I said, yeah. Connected to demonic power. They know your history. They can make up stuff about, in fact, they actually prophesy your destruction, right? Well, they'll actually, that's why you want to know what that is. What did they say? I don't remember. Okay, well, we're going to erase it anyway, but if they remember specifics, we renounce that lie. Sorcery, the use of black magic through drugs, potions, charms, crystals, amulets, music, spells, and the Greek word under drugs there is pharmakia, or pharmakia, depending on how you want to say it. That is the word we get pharmacy from, right? When you look at what's going on, and we've been, I told you, I think Wednesday night, we've been in the drug camps in Spain. If you go to Philadelphia, I got a pastor friend. In fact, many of you know Marcus DeSantos and his wife Chafin. They're on the mission field, going to be 6 months in South America. He was here. He's in Philadelphia. They call it Zombieland in Philadelphia. When you go online and you look at they look like dying zombies. It is so... My wife and I, our heart was broken last night watching this man who's so possessed and overcome by drugs and demons. And so, Lord, we just pray for this city that there would be this breakthrough. That's why I honor what we're doing to try to shut off all the drugs and fentanyl and garbage that's coming into the country. But if there wasn't a market for it, if there wasn't a demonic desire for it or a broken flesh need for it, that market would fail. So we got to pray, dry up the source, but change the hearts, right? Okay, two kingdoms, two sources of spiritual power. Number one, Jesus is the King of Kings. And Satan is the God of this world. You know that one. And then Joshua says, choose this day who you're going to serve. So who are you going to serve? Who's your family serving?
Jesus.
All right, come on. And so we recognize sometimes there's a challenge, and we may not even, I think I'm serving... Now, you may be serving your flesh, or you may be drawn into a place of darkness, trying to medicate your pain. And all of us have got this issue of fighting the flesh. Got to nail it to the cross every day, right? James 5, Galatians 5. So, when you look at what is the penalty for practicing witchcraft? Well, in the Mosaic law, you're actually put to death, number two. Satan's always had this deception, number three. You can be like God. Great enlightenment, right? This is that place where it's almost like God's withholding something from you. What did he tell him in the garden in Genesis 3? Did God say? No, he knows you'll be like God and you'll know between good and evil, right? That's the entire, like, he's not a good God. I love what Sarah was saying, the team was singing. He's always good. I may not understand everything, but he's always good, right? So what Satan does is, no, he's trying to withhold from you something that's really better. because he's not a good God. Liar, liar. Number four, here's the scripture warning. I just listed a few, but what are some of the consequences and the warnings associated with rebellion in this arena? You can look them up. There's lots of them. With the rise of Satanism and the occult, we see it now. That's why we got to guard what we're watching. This desire for horror movies to be scared, this desire, they're teaching Harry Potter series in school. If you got a Harry Potter book in your hand, you need to burn it. I don't know why you're looking. What do you? When this started, I was in England when she started this whole process, and then later casting spells and teaching children how to cast spells, right? This is that Deuteronomy 18. It's an abomination. God hates it. He hates it. And so if you want, well, you know, Pastor, it's a nice read. No, go, it's not a nice read, okay? You're entertaining in the wrong arena. And so get it out of your house. If you can burn it, burn it. Don't give it to somebody. Praise the Lord. Get rid of it. So we see this. And so how about this? The rise of not only the movies and the music. When you look at how much money is being spent on Halloween, next to Christmas, it is the greatest expense. You got goblins and garbage in your front lawn. What? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you dressing your kids up in all kinds of garbage? No, there's alternatives to this, right? Take them out and make it a special night, grandkids or kids, but don't. And if you've done it, repent from it. Just, Lord, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. But once you know the truth, you're responsible for it. To whom much is given, much is required. So now you know. It's like, Pastor, you know, is ignorance bliss? No, it is not. It's called sin still. I didn't know any better. You could have. If you read the book, you would have known, right? No condemnation, but now you know. So I'm not doing that. Well, then people, Pastor, you're being a little weird. You mean everybody does it in the schools. What are we going to dress up? I said, well, make yourself a testimony. Let yourself be a testimony. When they come and say, "Why?" Well, you know, we just don't do that. We want to honor Jesus. Oh, you're one of those guys. Yeah, I am. I sure am. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be too? Okay. Deceiving spirits on the rise. Turn over to the back. It says all these things that we see that are just on the rise. I would encourage you. I watched this week, and I actually sent it around to some of you. If you want to hear an ex-witch's testimony of where she's come out of, she was a, quote, white witch. Ashley Jones. I've listed it there. You can look her up. She's got a great testimony of things. And again, it was a desire to be a white witch. No such thing as a white witch. You're deceived in witchcraft, and eventually it's going to take you where you don't want to go. And that's what happened to her. She got suicidal, and she realized, oh my gosh, I'm not doing the right stuff here. So that's a great testimony you could look at. There's others. That last scripture, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. In fact, let's turn there to Ephesians chapter 5. This is one that Katie Gates often quotes. I like it, because it fits so well with a lot of stuff that we have to take a firm stand against, right? In Ephesians, Paul tells that this is a church in revival, right? The church at Ephesus was in revival, and it's a totally different book from a lot of, you know, the bad boy girl in church was the Corinthians church. He writes to them about, you guys are messed up and I need you to do the following. In Ephesians, he reveals a lot of amazing things. He starts out in verse 1, Ephesians 5, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us and a pleasing aroma to God. Drop down, it says in verse 3, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, those are not for you. Instead, be thankful, have thankfulness for God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on them who disobey him. Don't participate in these things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but you now have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. Carefully determine. Carefully determine. King James says, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. You can ask him. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. Now it's in your court, right? He also says, if you don't tell the people the truth, their blood is on you, Pastor. But if you tell them the truth and they don't do it, the blood's on them. So, Lord, we want them to be free. We want to know the truth that sets us free. Carefully determine this. Verse 15, living by the Spirit's power. So be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, that was today, right? Holy Spirit, come and fill us up. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord. Man, I think we did that. Praise the Lord. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about relationships. So when we ask the Lord to set us free from this darkness, what I'd like to do in conclusion this morning, I want to have communion. So I'm going to ask Ron and I guess Chris, or somebody's going to bring over the communion table. So another Ron. We got Ron squared. I love what God's doing in our city. In many ways, the light of the Lord is shining, and it's so good. Keep praying. When you drive your neighborhood, pray in the Spirit. If you see something that, you know, Lord, I ask you to just get that out of our city or convert them or shut it down, but do something. We don't need 17 Reiki centers in Wilmington. God. And pray for churches. We don't know that we have a corner on all, but there are churches that are mixing both. They're mixing yoga. They're mixing this kind of stuff. Reiki. A friend from another church told me, yeah, they got Reiki masters in the church that want to pray for people. I said, Lord, have mercy. So let's prepare our hearts right now for communion. Lord, we thank you that we've had such a wonderful time of service. And Lord, we want to ask that you would move mightily. So Lord, it says, if you will judge yourself, Paul said he got this directly from the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, I heard this directly from the Lord, that if you will judge yourselves, then you don't have to be judged by God. That's where you ask Holy Spirit, what is it that's not pleasing to you? I want to please you. And even if I don't know what that is, Lord, you'll show us. Because James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll show you. He's a good father. He wants us to know the truth if you ask him. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd shine the light. Many of us know already this thought life that wasn't pure, these words I spoke, the way I judged, the door I may have opened that wasn't from you, the stuff I watched, the things I participated in, whether it's Halloween or Rake, don't let the enemy condemn you, right? Romans 8:1 says there isn't any condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So as we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. That is such a wonderful, I love when John wrote that in his 90s, 1 John. He knew, he says, I was there. Now he's going back several generations of the church, the only surviving disciple. All of them had been martyred. He watched his former disciple brothers and members of the church be martyred for their faith. And then he writes, after being imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, he writes Revelation. They tried to kill him and shut him up by boiling him in oil, they tell us in history. And they couldn't kill him, so then they put him on an island where he can't do anything. Yeah. And then God visits him with an angel and he writes the book of Revelation. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Well, what is he saying? He says, look, this is that place where the revelation of the truth of God. I love this scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 14. For God's will was for us to be made into perfect and holy sacrifices, that he made this sacrifice. God's will was that he would be made a holy sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. King James says, Hebrews 10:10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Christ himself, that one perfect offering for which we are now being made perfected or sanctified. He has perfected us. That's, whew. When you are born again, you begin this journey in Christ, and you begin the journey for righteousness and holiness. Perfected means mature or complete. And Jesus fills in all the gaps of our brokenness and all the mess that isn't perfected yet, right? He says, perfect love expels all fear in 1 John 4:18. And then he says, if you still have fear, it's because love hasn't been fully perfected yet. So when we get born again, he justifies us. Now you're mine and you're marked in Jesus as a son and daughter. And then we start the journey. Philippians 1:6, he began the work in you. He began the good work in you, it says, and will perform it till the day he comes. So Jesus' sacrifice was so perfect, he now, his righteousness by our faith in him, just like Father Abraham, qualifies us as righteous and declared holy. Even in our gaps, Jesus fills in the gaps, making us perfected. What a beautiful, amazing promise. All through our life, journeying in that Psalm 24, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Communion joins us in this act of sacrifice. He says, remember what I did. Remember what I did for you. He brings us back into that remembrance. And what a terrible time it was for our Savior when it says that God the Father made him sin for you. He made his holy son sin for you and me. That's why he cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me now? I can't, that John 17 promise of his prayer that we're one, the Father and I are one, that you would be one with us, I and him, you and me, all one in Christ. In that moment, the holy God could not embrace his holy son, who now became made sin. Every sin you and I ever did or will do was put on him and separated him from his Father. Probably his most agonizing time ever in all eternity to find separation from his Father. The one true God. That's a mysterious statement. How the two, the Spirit, the fullness of the oneness of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, at that moment. And as soon as the blood was shed and he gave it up, it is finished. And he got the keys back. And now the devil knew, you're in big trouble, devil. There are going to be all these little Jesuses run all over the place filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to crush your head. Romans 16, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen. So Lord, I pray as we remember what you did, you took the bread and you broke it on that night. You even did it to the Judas who would betray you. You washed his feet. Lord, we need to forgive all the Judases in our lives. Matthew 18, he says, if you don't forgive them, you won't be forgiven by the Father. You can take communion till the cows come home. If you refuse to forgive, you're not forgiven. So, Lord, we choose by an act of our will, no matter how horrible the betrayal, the brokenness, the violation, it's not an act of my emotions, it's an act of my will. I choose to forgive just like Jesus did when he hung on the cross. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. So this broken bread in this body and this cup represents a new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus. So now, Lord, we come as the family of God to the meal that heals us. And we ask that you'd forgive us from all unrighteousness. Just confess your sin. Keep this real quiet. I'm going to ask Sarah if she'll come to the keys and just keep this holy moment. Just deal with Jesus. Deal with God. Let him, you know the stuff that you need to let. We had an amazing time of prayer and worship, and now we want to ask the Lord to seal this. The reason I wanted to do it at the end of service today is I want the Lord to seal this covenant in your own heart. Jesus' other brother, Jude, writes in the book of Jude, just before Revelation, my dear friends, you must remember what the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life was to satisfy their own ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating division among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and wait that the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ will bring eternal life his way. If you keep yourself safe in God's love, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives. And now, unto him, Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise one, God the Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power for now and forevermore. And the saints said, amen. Amen. Bless you all. God bless you. Thank you.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts. And we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.